All right. Thank you, Lord. Our opening scripture today is from the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. I'm going to read it out of the King James, but the one for today, the portion I'd like to read out of is from The Voice. I don't use that very often because it's more of a, it's not so much a translation as it is taking the text and just making it in today's language, if you will. It's quite good, but I'll read it in the King James first. And it's like this. Chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And there's that word slothful again. That's why I wanted to read it in the King James verse, because a few weeks back we were reading some things in Proverbs about guarding ourselves that we didn't get slothful or back off when it's time to press in. And we just kind of get a little bit loose in some areas and we need to tighten up, you know. And so here it is in The Voice. Verse 10, because God is not unjust or unfair, he won't overlook the work you have done or the love you have carried to each other in his name while doing his work, as you are still doing. We want you all to continue working until the end so that you'll realize the certainty that comes with hope and not grow lazy or lax or slack or backing off. We want you to walk in the footsteps of the faithful who came before you, from whom you can learn to be steadfast in pursuing the promises of God. And I really like the way this is written because it's a very bold statement in verse 10. God is not unjust or unfair. And he won't overlook the work or the good things that you've done as you serve others. I'm kind of paraphrasing that. Whenever you do something and you don't have to go around and wave a banner that, oh, look, I'm doing this or I'm looking and, you know, I want everybody to know all these things that I'm doing. God is not unjust. He's not unrighteous. And he's not forgetful in those things. Because to the believer, serving others, we've come to realize over the years that there's no greater joy than serving others. And whatever gifts or skills or talents he's given you, you're free to share those things. And no one has to tell you to do that. The Holy Spirit leads you to people that have needs that are going to line up with the gifts that you have to share to bring to the table. So God will make sure that the day is coming and there are rewards. We don't do them for the rewards. We do them because it's his Spirit in us that causes us to have that heart of serving, because Christ came to serve and he didn't like it. He didn't want people to serve him because at that time he came to serve others. And that example spills over into his beloveds. And so we, by nature, our spiritual nature, just have a tendency to want to do that. See the opportunities, just do it. And we want you all to continue. I don't know who wrote Hebrews. I have some suspicions about it, my personal thoughts about it, but it's a wonderful book. And so the writers or the church, it's an encouragement to us, because I take this as the Holy Spirit gave the utterance, if you will, or the leading to write the scriptures, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And through the Holy Spirit, he moved on the hearts of those who wrote what we have as our scriptures, as the Bible. So when I see this, I see God's will in this reflected in the word. He would say, we want you all to continue working. But the Lord would say to us, I desire that you continue doing those things I've gifted you and called you to do. You know, downstairs we've been studying weeks and weeks and weeks on the Holy Spirit and how when God speaks a word, there are many ways and applications of when he speaks, but through his word. And he says, working until the end of what? Our lives. In this earth suit. It's a way of life. And when people talk about retiring, I have a hard time with that because I don't even have any idea what that's going to look like. I put new tires on my car before winter last week, so I retired last year. Oh, God, it must be Monday. Somebody's pretty slow in the house. And so the thing of it is when we live our lives serving others, it's a full life. It's a life of quality. And even though it can be difficult and there might be times when you want to murmur or complain a little bit and you get frustrated because maybe people don't say thank you and you'd really like to hear that once in a while, there's just something about knowing that it's like God's hands extended through yours. Did you want to say something, Janet?
I just had a scripture that God gave me this morning, and I think it's just for this. It's Philippians 2:3 that says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself.
Beautiful. It does. Yeah. Thank you. It's like that here, isn't it? There's never a time when God gives us a word, and then from within us, it's confirmed in so many ways. And I just so appreciate how he ministers to all of us. It's beautiful. And so it's not something that we get too old to be a blessing to somebody. And physically, when people age to the point where they don't think that they can be of any benefit to anybody, and the thoughts come to them, I'm too old to do this, or I'm too old to do that, or I'm too old to be any good. That's not really true, because if you can open your mouth and you can talk, you can pray. You can reach over and lay hands on somebody and release the anointing of the Lord upon others and continue. And I like this so that you'll realize the certainty that comes with hope. And not grow lazy, or don't get lax, don't give up. Life in this world is true. It isn't fair, but God is just and God is fair, and that's where we have to, as believers, we have to look to Him, because in Him we're going to find what's fair and what's just and what's right, and not from this world. They just don't know yet. And so we can't expect them to live by our standards. Walk in the footsteps of the faithful who came before us. That's a really good word. I think there are people in our lives that we can look back on that maybe when, like in Faith, in my case, when we were baby Christians and we started hearing faith preachers, not condemnation preachers, not beating people up for their sins every week, but people who taught us faith, the principles of faith and how it works, and that so has impacted our lives. And Don was here early with me, and we were having breakfast with Gary by phone. We call it breakfast, it's communion with him. And we were talking about Jerry Seville, and we learned about from him, in fact, some of his, I believe a couple of his booklets are back there on that table. But He talked about how the Lord inspired him to get up early in the morning and pray. And so he wanted to be obedient. He had a heart and an ear to hear the Lord. So he began getting up really early in the morning to pray. But the problem was it was so early that he fell asleep. So when he was awake, he brought that before the Lord. Lord, I don't know why I fall asleep. I want to be obedient to you. I want to get up and I want to pray. And you know what the Lord told him? Stand on the edge of your bathtub. He never fell asleep again when he got up to pray. And I know that sounds silly, but sometimes it's just the right word. Because he went and did that. And he realized that if he fell asleep again, he could do a header into the vanity of the toilet bowl or whatever, you know. He never fell asleep praying again early in the morning. And so there are things that people will speak into your life. And I don't know if you, do any of you ever write prophecies down? If people prophesy over your life, do you write them down? Do you remember them? It's good to do that. But following those who set an example before your life that this faith walk really works. It really does. We get a lot of attacks, you know, from the outside because we appear to be foolish, because we dare to believe in a God you can't see. I don't have to see him. I can't see gravity either, but I can assure you I'm not jumping off the roof. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. And so to expound on this a little more, learning to be steadfast. I see the word steadfast a lot in the scriptures. And it means if you were a ship captain, and the ship's captain tells the helmsman, be steady, hold your course. If you're in the pilot's wheel steering the ship, be steady, hold the course. So the ship stays on its course across the ocean where you only can see water, unless you're with Ken and Laurie and they see lots of things when they go on a cruise. But think about way high up in the top of the ship, they have a panoramic view of everything laid out before them in the ship. But it's amazing how small that little wheel is that turns the rudder of that ship. And for us as believers, we're to be like the helmsman of a giant cruise ship or a tanker. Hold steady, hold the course. Don't change, don't veer off course. And continue to pursue God's promises. Because there are rewards. Number one, you have great peace. Because until you know what to do, find somebody to serve that has a need and just be faithful and take care of that. It's a great place to start. I like here because everybody helps each other. When we do our offering this morning, it's a love offering to help somebody in the body that has a need. And those are good things. We've been doing that for years and years and years, and we don't tell anybody outside the church we do that, but this is something among us. It's just something that we just do when it's this time for those things. Because when you think about how much God loves that person, why should we love them any less? And where Jana was going with that in Galatians 6:9 also talks about those things, about not growing weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And the reference also after that is pertaining to the Christian's care for one another within the Christian faith community, mm-hmm. Taking care of each other. And so these are times that we can do that. And because it's an act of love and kindness and mercy, those are reasons why God doesn't forget. because it's a reflection of our love for Him. Whatever we do as unto Him. And this is everyday life. There's always an opportunity if we have eyes and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us individually. There's always an opportunity to do something kind for somebody every day. So it's not a boring day. And just to the extent of that, the scripture I would like to be the closing of the opening, if you will, is from Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. Matthew 10. And you might not have thought about this too often in your life, but maybe this will be helpful to help all of us to look around us and see how we can bless somebody. Matthew 10:42. Whoops, I'm in chapter 24. Ooh. There's something in there for us too, but not quite yet. That'll be the final one for now. And of course we have to start with verse 40. Just to get it in its context, Jesus is speaking. And he says, he that receives you, all right, say, he that receives me receives Jesus. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. So basically Jesus is saying, any one of you. When we reach out and bless somebody, it's like we're releasing his presence, his anointing, his character, his nature. When we do that, to receive the Lord, when they receive something from you, your kindness, your acts of kindness and good things. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Well, you've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. You can't undo that. It's already done. Whether you like it or not, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. God said so. So you have to accept that for yourself. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You know, we've often had testimonies where God is so attentive to the seemingly small things. Just giving someone a glass of water, and they're working. Maybe they're working for you. Maybe they're doing something for you. And they're out in the yard. Somebody that's mowing your grass, maybe. Did you ever think to bring them out a glass of cold water? There's a reward for doing that. We don't do it for a reward, but there's a reward. And God is not unrighteous or unjust to notice what you do for the good of others. And so this is the last one for the opener. Matthew 24. And always remember the motive is love. We don't just do it to do it. There's something deeper than that behind it. And it's the love of Christ which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We all have it. It's already there. We have whatever it takes. You know, Matthew chapter 24 is what a lot of us would call the end time chapter. when Jesus starts beginning to tell us what it's going to be like in end times, and I don't know which generation is going to see the fullness of that. Each generation comes and goes, and with surely going to be in our lifetime, and then two more generations live beyond that. So I don't really know when that's going to be, but I can tell you from this, there are certain things to look for, and it isn't always the volcanoes and the hurricanes and the tornadoes. There's something else I want you to see. Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I've actually seen some of this begin to creep into the body of Christ a little bit. We get caught up in the unjust things that are going on around us in this world. And you know, it isn't long, and you find it harder to love somebody maybe that's not saved. You find it harder to do things for them, because this is the answer. Our heart begins to wax cold. So I would say out of this as an encouragement from the Lord through all of us together hearing this word today, guard your heart. Don't slip into the enemy's hand and let him cause you to get a cold heart towards others, because it's so easy to do that. And Jesus said that would be one of the things that we would see of the generation. And I think we're there where we see all of the iniquity and evil in the world. But we've got to really guard our hearts too, that we don't start slipping in that area. And he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And it comes back to where we started in Hebrews. This is a full time. We're in the army of the Lord. And Jesse, there's no drills. It's constant active duty. We don't get to go away for a weekend in the sense of go back for training or whatever we do. It's every day. So I know that's a lot for an opening scripture, and it's a lot to think about. But I would just say the Lord would have us to know that he's very attentive to what we do for others. And so this offering, we don't do this very often, but whenever we're aware of it, we want to do it. So, Father, we thank you. We don't do this for show. We do it because someone has a need, and you've called us alongside to help make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.